Don't you feel sorry for his wife? I do. Look at that. Hands raised all over the building. Hey, I'm telling you, these young people, I went over to Crab Orchard. Everybody knows where that's at, probably. That's where I'm from. And it's on the 4th of July. And this preacher came over, and my wife and I and my brother was sitting there in the shade and get out of the heat. And this guy walked up to me and he said, "Preacher," said, "I listen to you every day on the radio." I said, "Well, I'm honored. Thank you so much for listening to my radio broadcast." He said, "Preacher," said, my church," said, "is an older church," said, "I've been there 11 years. And he said, "I have nobody in my church under 55. They're all 55 and over. 55 and over." And he was telling me, he said, "We're in bad shape." He said, "Our church is dying." Let's be honest tonight. Let's just be honest. Let me get Brother Greg happy just a minute. Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're living in a time like I have never seen in my life. Now, what I mean by that is, how many of you, by raising of your hand, you'll say, "Brother Sisson"? Now, I know Brother Billy. Now, I know he teaches y'all and preaches the truth to you. How many of y'all believe in the imminent return of the Lord? Imminent. In other words, he could come right now. Correct? All right. Now, the next event is Christ coming. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Not hope so. I know I'm going. But I'm down here on this little mud ball planet called Earth. And don't get too excited. Don't throw your hands up. Don't quit. Stay faithful to the Lord. But the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more the Spirit of God is withdrawing himself from us.
That's right.
It's us that he's withdrawing from. In fact, if you look in the book of Revelations, he says, "I'm standing at the door and knock." He's on the outside of his own church in Revelation chapter 3. All right. I want you to get your Bible right quick and be turning to the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 10. And I want to share this with you tonight. In the book of my buddy, Brother Mike Cox, is here, and his wife, Lisa, and I appreciate them coming. I appreciate everybody praying for my grandson. I had a sort of dilemma. My grandson had an acute ear infection, and he's only 10 years old, and spoiled rotten. They live in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm not around him very much, but I'd get some of that spoiledness out of him. That's all right. You're listening to me on tape. But he's 10 years old, and he had this ear infection. So we had to take him to the emergency room. And so my boy had to fly out. Their flight was tomorrow. So they took him to the emergency room, and by him having an ear infection, the doctor said he don't need to be flying. So my boy had to be back in Clearwater tomorrow afternoon. So guess what? They had a rental car, so they're on their way to Jacksonville, Florida. So I wish you would pray for I wish you would pray for his mom. And it's a sad situation. His mom is, they're out of a broken home, broken lives. And it's sad. Oh, I know it's in, how many of you know somebody either directly or indirectly their home is messed up? I guess we all do if we'd be honest, what don't we? It's an epidemic level. Well, but I'm saying this. Don't be despaired at all these problems. Jesus is going to come. All right, the book of 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 10. And I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it to you slowly. And I hope God will get in this tonight and just bless you beyond measure. 2 Corinthians, and I want to read it. Chapter 10, I believe it is. Let me find my place. Now, I want to read slowly and distinctly. And looking back, if you would, let me start reading in verse 1. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand the word now. Look in verse 1. Now. All right. That preceding that in chapter 9, Paul says this. Now, I, Paul, he wants you to know who he is. Myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, and being absent bold toward you. Now I beseech you, I beg you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some. Now watch, which think of us if we walked according to the flesh. Now look in verse 3. So evidently they got some real bad problems in the church of Corinth. But now look in verse 3. For he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now remember, Paul is writing to save people. Saved people. Now look down in verse 5. Casting down imaginations, every high thing. He said, that's back up in verse 4, I'm sorry. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. And bringeth into captivity, what? Every thought, he says, to the obedience of Christ. Let me read that again. It says, bringing in verses 5, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I realize tonight is Sunday night. Flip over to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 1, and I want you to look in chapter 1, and chapter 2, and look in verse 16. Now, keep your place in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Look in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and look down in verse 16, please. Everybody get your Bible. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Now, you're turning in your Bible, and I'm going to read it again. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? He says that he may instruct him, But we, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Now, listen to me for a moment. When and where did we get the mind of Christ? When did Brother Rick get the mind of Christ? When did Brother Junior get the mind of Christ? I got saved when I was 19. How old was you? 19. Hey, Brother Junior, how old was you when you got saved? 18. Ladies, how old was you?
About 16, I think.
See, about 11. The reason why I'm asking that is this. When we got saved, things is not like it is now as when we got saved. Things are different. All right, what I mean by that is, it's not that the power of God is diminished. I believe any man, woman, boy, and girl can be saved. Amen. I believe that. But I believe if they really, truly get saved, their life is changed. God changes you from inside to outside.
Right.
Now say amen.
Good.
But the moment that Rick got saved, the moment that Junior got saved, the moment I got saved, I got the mind of Christ. Now, before I got saved, I thought wrong. I did wrong. My flesh controlled my life. Now that we are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Good. Look over in your Bible and go to Romans, please, chapter 12. I can quote it, but I want you to go. Especially these young people. I love being around them. Now, I want you to watch this. In Romans chapter 12, keep your finger in the book of 2 Corinthians. Romans chapter 12, look, if you would, back up in your Bible in verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech, there, that word is again, I beg, I beseech you therefore, brethren, out of the same womb, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Say it back to me. By the renewing of your mind. Now watch, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 10, and we're going to stay there. All right, so you see, when you got saved, you got the mind of Christ. But now watch this. Your mind is not saved. What I mean by that is this. Your mind has to be renewed.
Right.
When we, not maybe, let's exclude Rick, because he's not near as old as we are, and that's not a put down. When I got saved, all right, when a drunk got saved, the power of God changed that man. All right, they didn't have to contend with what we have to contend with. And what I mean by that is this, it's called a television. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you do, you're to do all to the glory of God. All right, where have we gone wrong? Why is the train off the rail? Why is it we're on the wrong side of the road? Why is it our churches are dead, plucked up? Why is it there's nobody getting saved? I want you to listen to me. The Bible says that this weapons of warfare in 2 Corinthians 10, when I got to thinking about this and I put my mind in gear and I thought, when I got saved, I didn't understand that everything happened to me. I didn't understand all that. Fortunately, I got in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and I heard the truth and started applying it to my life. How many of y'all did you see the little Carson come up here and put that money in that jar? All right, I remember when his mother gave birth to him. All right, now Carson is growing, right? His little mind is growing. He's learning how to walk. He had two legs, but he didn't know what to do with them. He crawled. He held on to things. One day he turned loose and one day he started walking. And guess what? He came from his mother all the way from there up to here. So he's growing. Am I right?
Right.
So Carson knows. How old is Carson? He's 12 months old. All right. He'll know a lot more at 2 than he does at 1. He'll know a lot more when he's 4 than he does when he's 2. If time goes by, as he grows, he'll know a lot more at 10 than he does that when he was 4. Amen. Now that we're saved, listen to me, you're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. That's the reason why it's so important that you don't need to be spoon-fed all of your life spiritually. I'd sit my son, when he's my oldest boy, Chris, I'd sit him in his high chair. My wife would say, would you feed Chris? Now remember, he's my oldest child. I had no knowledge. I didn't have no experience of raising a child. Now, Chris would be sitting there, Mike, and they loved, y'all, do they still have the little stuff in jars, baby food in jars? Do they still have it, yeah. Baby food in jars? Man, they love that sweet stuff. But boy, when they get down to them peas and asparagus and green beans, they'll spit that stuff. When I was sitting there feeding Chris, I didn't know that. Boy, thank God for them bibs that's got them little pouches in them. I'd say, open your mouth, and I'd slide it in there. Boy, in a few minutes, he didn't like that green beans. He'd spit that thing a mile long. What I'm saying is, that's a lot like Baptist folk. All right, Chris is born. Yeah, he's sitting in a high chair. But he don't like the taste of green beans. You don't need to rely upon your Sunday school teacher to spoon feed you all of your life. You need to grow yourself in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. You need to study. Show yourself approved. That's where in years gone by, our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpa, they didn't have all this stuff that we have. Amen, sister.
Right.
They worked from sun up to sundown. Nod your head. They worked hard. They went to bed early, got up early. All right, they didn't have the allurement of the world and the appeal of the world always combating them. See, y'all don't remember none of this stuff, but I remember when we used to have a battery-operated radio. And we'd listen to the Grand Ole Opry. We'd listen to hymns from the hills over in Mount Vernon. Cook on an old wood-burning stove, my grandma. All right, we didn't have all of this stuff. Now look at me, don't die on me for a moment. Talking about the pirate, we're talking about the mine. I'll prove it to you in a moment. All right, I've got a television, but it's got a button on it. We've not had a real moving of God since television came into existence. It's corrupted us. Amen, sister. Our movies, my boy, we were sitting yesterday, I believe it was, and they, you know, men like to chant, they like that remote. Well, Chris had the remote, and he was doing this, and all of a sudden it came on the Lone Ranger. Don't y'all remember them old black and white movies, The Lone Ranger? How many of y'all? Hi, old Silver. Tonto. He don't know nothing what I'm even talking about. But anyway, my grandson was sitting there. He's 10 years old. Chris is The Lone Ranger. And he said, Tristan, The Lone Ranger. Hey, that 10-year-old boy didn't have a clue who The Lone Ranger was. In fact, he said, Papa, he said, why has he got that mask on? What I'm saying is, look how we've came from black and white television. We've come now to what? Every kind of bedroom scene. We've heard every kind of violence. Amen, sister. And it's desensitizing us to it. And by the way, we brought that same concept into our churches. Every generation we lose just a little. Every generation. Let's go back. Won't you watch this? Everybody with me? Everybody with me? Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. Now, I want you to write this on the fly of your Bible. Why is it that my wife, y'all need to give her a tape. Y'all need to give her a, make sure she gets a CD of this. My wife has fought depression all of her life. She's bipolar. She has a lot of problems with depression. All right, now look at me for a moment. Did you know before I ever got a handle on this, I did not understand. I got married when I was 18. She was 16. We've been married some 55 years. Men don't understand. I'm glad it's like this. Men ain't like women. Women ain't like men. All right, but I'm saying, thank God, but I'm saying I didn't understand, and I still don't have a real handle on it. But women are susceptible. Their brains, the devil wants to destroy every woman. Have you ever wondered why the war is on women? Ooh, if I get quiet in here now. He wants to destroy all of us. Biblically, a woman is a weaker vessel. That's not a put down. In fact, I esteem womanhood. But I'm saying if the devil can get a woman to the point to where that her nerves is everything in the world and a man don't help her even raise the kids. Amen, sister. All right. A woman, she keeps house, keeps a husband, minds her children. She's a bookkeeper. She's a housekeeper. She's everything. But I'm saying, what if the devil can destroy womanhood, and he's done a good job of it, amen? I remember used to that women, they wanted a child. They wanted a little girl and a little boy. And women wanted to do what? They wanted a home. Amen, sister. Now then, they want careers. Ooh, did I say that? Hang on now, watch. Let's go back. Boy, I knew that I'd get a fling from that. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10. Look back, if you wouldn't, about our weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the stronghold. So I went through my Bible. I'm talking about a blinded mind. The Bible, if you're here and unsaved, did you know the Bible says, whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds? The Holy Ghost has to reveal to you your lost condition or you'll never get saved. Don't look at me like that. There's blinded minds in the Word of God. Secondly, there's also corrupt minds. And there's alienated minds. In other words, look at our culture. What is wrong with us? We was talking to Kelly. What is it going to be like for our children if the Lord don't come back to the year 2020? What is it going to be like? All right, now listen to me. Hang on just for a moment. Every generation, will y'all be honest, we lose just a little. Raise your hand, I'll see how many of y'all agree. Every generation, we lose just a little. Well, what is it going to be like for a girl that's 10 when she gets 12 in 2020? With all this promiscuousness, marriage anymore is already in the drain. They live together. Amen, sister. But listen to this. I'm talking about this weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Blinded minds, alienated minds, corrupt minds. Now, I want you to go on. I'm going to show it to you. Now, hang on. I'm still in 2 Corinthians 10. I thought about how there's defiled minds, fleshly minds, but reprobate minds. Now, watch this. Bringing in every captivity to the thought of the obedience of Christ. Rick, I'm going to ask you. You might as well get ready. Do you ever get embarrassed at what you see? Sis, do you ever get embarrassed as to what you see? Now, I want to ask you something. Lisa, why do we get embarrassed at what we see? How come it is nobody else gets embarrassed? If you're saved and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you're to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. When you see things and it's not biblical, it's not right, it's not accurate, it ought to do something to you. But we're living in a time when people are so blinded, nothing bothers them. Did I say that right? Nothing blinds them. Now, I want you to watch. Every generation is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I want you to put this down. The power of the mind. I am not no, what's that guy out there in California that wrote that book? No. I'm talking about the power of the mind. I do believe this. Your body, your soul, and your spirit, your physical, your mental, and your spiritual. And the devil, primarily the work today is on the flesh. It's on your mind. What you put in your mind, I'd give anything in the world. I don't know how to do this. I guess you do. You know how to delete things on a computer. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to delete them. I don't know how to take them off. But I wish there's a whole lot of things I could delete.
Right.
Anybody other than me?
That's good.
I'd give anything in the world if I could push a delete button and it'd be gone. But it's in your mind. It's there. All right, now watch it. You young people, be careful what you put in your mind. Please listen to me. It's important that you be around people. It says, Lot vexed his righteous soul day by day by their filthy conversation. You better watch what you put in your eye gate. You better watch what you listen to these ears. I was telling them young girls back there, I'm telling you, some of the most filthiest language I've ever heard in my life comes out of young girls. I told this one girl, boy, she was so mad at me, I thought she was going to have a hissy, and I'd take a quart of a baby aspirin and worry about it. I mean, she was some of the most vile stuff. I said, when God saved me, clean my mouth up. I am not going to sit and listen. I'm not going to be around nobody that's going to cuss my father, my biological dad. Would you let somebody cuss your daddy? Merle, would you do that? Would you let somebody curse you, give your daddy a good cussing? Then why in the name of heaven do we permit it and don't say anything about it when people use that word GD? The whole culture, the whole society, this vehement, vulgar conversation. So watch what you put in here. My grandpa would have thrown you out the front door if what we now listened on the news, if people came into his home and used that language, he'd have thrown you out the front door. But see, now it's almost acceptable. Well, you know, my little grandson, he's 10 years old, and he goes to a special ed school in Florida, but he's talking to me. This man on television used the word SOB. He is 10 years old. Grandpa, Papa always what he called. He said, that man cussed. All right, now watch it. What kind of language are they going to use in 2 years down the road?
Right.
Are y'all listening to me? I mean, if it's coming at us now from every direction, how many of y'all know, how many of y'all ever watch ABC? Good Morning America? Well, I won't watch it no more if I got a reason, but I ain't going to get into that. How many of y'all remember Janet Jackson and the the wardrobe malfunction? How many of y'all remember? I watched this on television, on the news, early in the morning. Diane Sawyers is sitting right here. Charlie, that anchor man, he looked over at Diane Sawyers, and here's what the conversation was. Do you believe in our lifetime that we will one time on television go to full nudity? What do you think their answer was? They both said that in their lifetime, television would be full nudity. I'm telling you before God, it is almost true today. I went to a funeral this past Thursday. If I'd have been, some of y'all are thinking, well, I'm glad you're not my parent. Well, I'm glad you're not my child. I'm telling you before God, I went to that funeral, and this girl stood there, I mean down to her navel, this was open. Ain't that pitiful? Say amen to me. I ought to have had a mom tell her to put clothes on. Who did I say that? Let's go back. You know what? We're talking about this power of the mind. Mind, I believe the mind is the entrance to the soul. Where does the soul exist in a man? You see a corpse, you see it laying there. The very moment of death, if that individual is saved, washed in the blood, guess what? The soul and spirit exits and goes to be with the Lord. That's a body. The body only is what, it's like a vehicle. It gets it from point A to point B. The real Rick is on the inside. But where does the soul exist in a man? It can't be in the mind. It can't be in the heart. The heart is just a core. It's just an organ set to pump blood. They can now put a new heart in you, an artificial heart. So the soul is not in the heart. The heart is, we're talking about the core, the central part of a person. Personally, I believe Billy talked about this morning, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the heart, the intent of the heart, even to the marrow of the bone. Where does the soul exist in a man? Got y'all's attention, ain't I? Where is the more core of a person at? Where is the blood manufactured at? The bone. The bone is hollow. That's got the marrow of the bone. Marrow of the bone. All right, we know that the body goes back to the dust of the earth. Say amen.
Right.
We know that the man is a body, soul, and spirit. Correct. All right, but the power of the mind, the devil is the prince and power of the air. He knows how. Listen to this. You raise your hand. I agree, Brother Sisson. The longer it's done, more people that do it, sooner it becomes accepted. The devil knew that.
Right.
The devil is the prince and power of the air. Why y'all looking at me? Is my tie crooked? We're talking about the power of this. How many of y'all remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation? What did the devil do to the Son of God? If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. If thou be the Son of God. I'm talking about, listen, look at me for a moment. The devil is not, he's not like what you think. He's not red underwear, long tail, two horns and a pitchfork. He's the arch enemy of your soul. He's not no booger man. Oh. Let me show you. Let's go back to what. Bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. We don't do that, but I attempt to do it. And I want you to watch this. There comes a time that I believe a purging of your mind. I don't know if you ever get embarrassed. I don't know if you ever feel guilty. But I know this, if the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, if you see something that's not biblical, it ought to bother you. This world is in a mess. I'm talking about it is in a mess. When you got kids killing parents, we've seen every kind of violence in the world. Guess what? Let me tell you what it done. It's been a long time since I've seen cartoons. Today, Tristan was having this ear problem. And he's laying on the couch, and so he's watching this. SpongeBob, did I say that right? SpongeBob, and what was that other one? Well, anyway, a sponge. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this thing on television, and it was a cartoon. A sponge. Boy, he was glued to that television watching that cartoon. And I thought how much influence that television has over people's minds. All right, violence. Man, when I was growing up, me and Chris, I talked to that. When I was growing up, man, I used to, we lived in Ohio. I dearly loved Saturday morning. Chris and I and Kim, my daughter, we would sit every Saturday morning of our watch and watch the Roadrunner. You know that beep, beep. Man, I wanted so much for that Roadrunner to catch that. I wanted him so much. Don't y'all remember that coyote? But look where it's at now. It's killing, shooting. My little grandson had a gun, plastic gun. And I was trying to give him a life lesson. And I said, Tristan, whatever you do, don't point that at nobody. Why? At that age, I always want to know why. Y'all, if y'all got past that stage, you don't know. They want to know why everything. I was telling him about up in Chicago, the young boy, do y'all remember he pointed a cap gun at a cop and a cop shot him? Do y'all remember that? So I was trying to tell him, don't ever point a gun at nobody. Guess what Tristan told me? A 10-year-old child at the school he goes to in Jacksonville, Florida, they had to lock the school down because a boy brought a gun to school. All right, don't that tell y'all anything? Why would a 10-year-old child have even know about a gun to bring it to school? Copycat, watching it on television. I know people don't believe this, but we're talking about purging our mind. There's some things you should never let into your mind. Now watch this. I thought about in verse 3, the weapons of our warfare. But we walked according to the flesh. All right, now watch it. I thought about pulling it down, verse 4, casting down. Don't let the stuff in there. Don't let it in your eye gate. Boy, it is so important. If I live and breathe, I'm going to preach this. How many of y'all remember Saul in the Bible? How many remember David? How many of y'all remember when Saul would get aggravated, what would David do? Do what? He would do what? Say it again. He would play the harp. Music has a proper place. Say amen. Right. But look how the devil has corrupted it. Hey, look at y'all's faces. I love good music. Say amen. But the devil has so corrupted music. I'm telling you the truth. These lyrics of these rappers, it's awful. And kids today, they like that beat. Oh, Lord help us. I thought about it. Now, won't you look in verse 3, purging of it. But then that pulling down, that casting down, verse 5, casting down imagination, every high thing. And then look in verse 5, bringing it in, the Bible says, casting down every high thing that exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When I was lost, nothing didn't bother me. Third thing, I want you to watch this. There comes what I call the peace of mind. I'd rather go to my bed, go to my bedroom, lay down on my couch. That don't make sense. Go to sleep on my bed, pull the sheet up around my neck. I'd rather have that peace of mind than to have anything. Does that resonate with anybody? I had rather have that peace. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4. But you see, you can't have that peace of mind. You can't serve two masters. Either you love one or you hate the other. Now, if you live long enough, things are going to go wrong. If you live long enough, you're going to get depressed. Elijah did, and I don't think you can be equal to Elijah. Elijah got so bad he wanted to die. How about Jonah? He got so bad he wanted to die. How about John the Baptist? John got so bad, his thought pattern got so bad, he baptized the Son of God. But if you go back and check it out, when he was in prison, art thou the Christ, or we should look for another? John's in bad shape. Now watch this, let's go back. Not only the power of our mind, not only the purging of our mind, but then there's what's called the peace of mind. When you realize your position, I am in Burnside, but spiritually I'm seated in the heavenlies. Woo! That ought to make you have a spell. Can anything happen to me without the knowledge of Christ? Nothing. Boy, you don't know what that means to me. Okay, now listen to me. What if you lose your job? Lord's still there. What if any tragic thing happens in your life? Is not the Lord there? Everything works together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So if I really believe that, in my position, I'm seated in the heavenlies, I'm engraved in the palm of his hand, nothing can happen to me without the knowledge of Christ. All right, that brings me a peace of mind in my everyday walk of life. And sometimes things go wrong. For instance, like you go to the hospital one day and your wife has a test and the doctor says, it's cancer. Boy, that ain't a bomb dropped on you. Or you had a death in the family. But knowing and realizing that nothing can happen to us without the knowledge of the Lord. Now watch you. But Isaiah 26:3, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole entirety of the Bible. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in the Lord. That's a mouthful. It's hard sometimes to keep your mind stayed on the Lord when everything's going wrong.
Right.
Say amen.
Right.
But it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in the Lord. I may not have all the revelation as to why it's happening or what's going to happen or why things go south, but if I really believe the Bible, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in the Lord. Just saying, Lord, by faith, I'm going to believe you're going to bring us through this thing.
Right.
Boy, I can attest and raise my hand and shout, thank God. In 55 years of my life, boy, I've seen God do some things in my life. You would think that I would never, ever get depressed when I go back or get discouraged when I think about all God's done for me. And sometimes, if you'd be honest, all of us, sometimes our mind, the devil plays tricks on our mind. He'll make you think nobody loves you, nobody don't care, nobody don't understand, nobody cares whether you live or die. That's a false. The devil is a liar and the father of all liars. Hey, Jesus cares, amen. Now, won't you watch protection of it? You young girls, listen to me. Watch who and what you're around. Say amen. You say, it's amazing now that I'm 73 years old, it's amazing how much knowledge my parents really had. Look at their faces. It's amazing to me. I thought they didn't know nothing. Now I thought, I can handle my life. I can do this. I can do that. And all the time, I got tickled. Them girls, I asked them, did their mama ever, she said, I've had a whooping. A whooping. See, there's a vast difference between a whipping and a whooping. You never had none of them. If you had a whooping, it would have been different. You ought to use a tobacco stick on you. They didn't take. But now listen to this. Why? I mean, they say, don't go there. I don't want you going out. You know, if you could look inside of my heart, I literally have got on my knees and begged young girls, young boys, don't date him. Don't go there. Please don't do that.
Right.
Look here, they think we don't know anything. What we're trying to do is head you off and keep you from getting into trouble. Say amen. But see, then they'll say, they'll go down that broad road and they'll get out of church and get hooked up with all. Don't even look at an unsaved boy. Don't even look at an unsaved girl. It won't work.
Right.
Oil and water don't mix, amen. Yeah. That's what's wrong with our churches. They're trying to mix, they're trying to serve two masters, one foot in the world and one foot in the trying into heaven. Preacher, now watch this. I'm talking about the protection of our mind. I mean, safeguard it, put a guard up. Now watch this. Look at your Bible, pulling down every stronghold. That's in verse 4. But then mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Your mind, I'm talking about, watch your eye gate. Don't, Job said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. How many of you have watched commercials? You ever notice the color gets, I'll tell my wife, why in the name of heaven is that television up so high? Why does the sound go up during the commercials to get your attention? Do you ever notice the colors get brighter? Mm-hmm. Why is that? When you go into a store, why do they have music playing through the PA system or whatever? Usually it's real soothing music. But I'm saying, what if the devil is the prince and power of the air, and there's strongholds he builds up in every one of our lives, that's the reason why the church is so important. Please listen to me. In all my years, 50 plus years of my life, the church is a protective hedge for a marriage.
That's good.
Please listen to me. It's a protective hedge for a marriage. It'll keep you out of divorce courts.
You're right.
We all got different personalities. We do things different. Say amen. But a good Bible-believing church is worth its weight in gold. Amen. Parents that really care about you, young people, learn biblical truths and submit yourself to authority. My grandson, I never will forget it. This about 14, 15 years old. They was mowing the grass and boys out there sweating. And this boy was working with Dylan. And this time, but I tell you right now, that boy said, I am so tired of my dad telling me what to do. You wait till I get out of school. I said, okay. Get out of school. Then what are you going to do? I'm going to get me a job. He said, I might go into the army. I said, oh, please go into the army. Just don't get a job. Go straight to the army. He said, well, that's what you advised me. I said, go straight to the army. Just bypass the job. Go to the army. Look at me. Are y'all ready? They don't like to be told what to do. Son, they'll tell them what to do, what time to get up, what to wear, how much hair to wear, Kelly. Do y'all remember Elvis Presley? How many of y'all remember this? I was back in the 60s. When he joined the army, do y'all remember what he done? You had that black hair and boy combed it back there. I love it. They went right down his head. Shoo! Y'all don't remember that, do you? What I'm saying is, if you don't want to be told what to do, go join the military. That's a good thing to do. Everybody needs authority in their life.
Right.
Look here, Junior. What would happen if we didn't have stop signs? What would happen if we did not have a stop sign? What's the purpose of a stop sign?
For you to stop.
Oh, brilliant man.
To make people stop.
What?
Instead of running.
All right, why?
The car
but why the stop sign?
You got cars
to tell you to what?
Stop.
S-T-O-P. You might not only endanger yourself, but you're endangering other people's lives. Am I correct?
You're right.
So the stop signs in our life, moms, dads, preacher, like Brother Billy. I'm talking about y'all got a good church, but I'm telling you, if you just keep taking it for granted, you don't appreciate nothing until it's gone. Amen, sister. Now I want you to watch this. This is going to help you. Not only the power of our mind, but then I thought about the purging of it. I thought about the peace of mind that God gives, but I thought about the pressure. There comes a problem. Anybody outside me, do you ever get angry? Well, why did he get so quiet then? Be ye angry and sin not. All right, now look at me for a moment. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, how do you handle problems when people differ with you? How do you handle things when things absolutely, I'm talking about the problem of our mind. I'm trying to learn how to handle things different. Say amen. when we dismissed you, I did not want them reinstating you. I'm just kidding. I was looking out for your wife. But I'm saying we've all got problems sometime in our mind. Sometimes the devil manipulates and controls and puts things in your mind. It ain't never going to get any better. Right. Anybody, the devil ever whisper that to you? This is never going to get any better. Right. The problem is just too big. No, listen to me. We all have these problems, but our weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through the tearing down of strongholds. Now, I venture to say, everybody in here, if you'd be honest, if you'd really be honest, sometime or another, y'all ever have a problem with laziness? I'm not a lazy person. I'm not. I don't mean that in a bragging way. I'm just not a lazy person. I've never been. I've always had high energy content, go from sun up to sundown. So that's not my problem. I love working. I love doing things. I love people. I love being around people. So that's not a problem. If there's anything of a problem, I got the gas all the way to the floorboard. Y'all ever got that problem? Gas all the way to the floorboard? And my wife, she'll say, Mel, you need to rest. Mel, you need to do this or you need to do that. If you'd really be honest, you don't like to be told what to do.
Right.
If you'd really be honest, none of us likes to be told what to do. Our flesh rebels at it.
Right.
We don't like that. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. But I'm just saying, that's a problem we have. Do you ever in your life say, God, please work on me? Boy, I love this. My boy, my oldest boy, we was having a good time at the house, and he loves coffee, and I love coffee, he likes it like Cairo syrup. So I don't let him make coffee. No. He'll say, Dad, you want a cup of coffee? I said, I'll get it. But we were sitting there drinking coffee last night, and we was having a real good time. And my grandson, Dylan, he said, Papa? I said, yeah, son. I said, you just can't say I'm sorry to save your life. He said, when I'm wrong, I can. Crazy youngin'. Then my oldest boy, he said, Dad, he said, I can't believe I heard you say that you was wrong. I said, I've never heard you say you was wrong, turkey. But we was going at each other just having a good time. But sometimes we're all wrong. Say amen. Sometimes we all have problems in our life. Sometimes I mishandle things. I don't like mishandling things.
Right.
But where is the problem stemming from? All right, we all are in the flesh. All right, we all need to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's the reason why you need to be faithful to the house of God. That's the reason why your loyalty ought to be to Christ.
Right.
Amen, sister. That you might do what? Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now, I said all that to say this. Watch what you put in your mind. Watch what you go through your ear gate. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Job said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Whatever you do, let the Spirit of God rule in your life. Are y'all listening to me? Let the Spirit of God rule in your life. Now, here's what I want us to do. Brother Porter, if you come to the piano, I want us to all stand real quietly, bow our heads. If you're here and unsaved tonight, listen to me. Your spirit life is dead. You need to be quickened or made alive. Your body life, it don't take no rocket scientist. Everybody in here is dying just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Listen to me. I'm talking about tonight. We all, sometime or another, these weapons of the world. But the battle is on our mind. Well, Brother Sisson, contentment has to be learned. I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be content. Hey, tonight, could I ask you something? Would you be honest enough to admit tonight I'm saved, but sometimes I just have problems with me? Well, looky here. Thank God, amen. You know what? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2, verse 20. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to ask you tonight, how many of you would just slip out and come to the old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, help me. Help me with this bringing every obedience to the thought of Christ. Father, I love you tonight. Please help us. God, sometimes we become weary. And then, Lord, when we become weary, we think things wrong. And God, I'm ashamed sometimes. Lord, I don't have problems, Lord, with this world. But Lord, I would to God tonight, Lord, you bring us to the end of ourselves. Help us, dear God, I pray. Oh, dear God, please. May Jesus come in. May people see him tonight. Yes, Lord, please. Everything.